Hey, my friends, welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you're having a good morning.
You do it to torment me.
What?
I'm walking in here 3 seconds before the show starts.
You tormented me this morning. I didn't get you back. I hope you guys are staying strong and healthy as always. Be sure to check out the product of the week, the B-Complex formula, ready to rock right now for over 12% off. This is our methylated B vitamin formula. Very, very popular, really, really good, and works very effectively. And is on sale right now, so be sure to check it out, along with the other best sellers. Also, too, check out some of the ones we have on here with some of the kits. And please make sure, if you like some products, give us some reviews. We're getting more reviews up on different products here from customers. And I really appreciate those. And a lot of other customers really like reading that because it gives them the ability to see real-world reviews on how the product worked for them and what it can do for them as well. So be sure to do that for me. And also, make sure you're signing up for the weekly newsletter. Told you guys that all the time. We got the podcast page, the Ted and Austin Brower Show, thebrowershow.com. All the updated shows. And remember, you can watch the shows on here without any of these ads. I know some people have said stuff about Gab or I think Rumble. There's some ads that pop up on there because we have a premium page, so we don't have to pay an enormous amount of money with all the art, with all the shows we post every day. They don't make me any money. I'm not like, oh, I'm getting YouTube rich off posting shows. That does not happen.
We don't make a penny.
I make crap off of it. It basically covers the cost of it. And the thing about it is,
it's what they charge us to air the
right
show.
So you got to pay a thing every month on it, so it pretty much offsets the cost. But if you don't want to do that, and then on here is completely for free, and there's no ads, and there's no commercials. You know, I eat the cost of running this show on here.
And Todd has it, too, on Global Star for free.
Yeah. And so, I mean, but then we do have Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Gab, Spotify, Rumble. If you want to go on there and subscribe and watch them, they're on there, too. Just some of them have, like, a commercial or two at the beginning of it, the way it's set up on there.
We don't do those commercials either.
Yeah, but I don't do anything on this personal page. This Brower Show, this is as raw as it gets. No ads. I mean, I don't even charge a subscription fee or anything to maintain or up this every day. I mean, but we probably are going to set up a VIP secondary base on the site, and we're going to start shooting more content on more topics that you guys like that maybe are a little bit different than just health stuff. We've talked about that before, and that's in the works right now with Michael Barrett. And be sure to get the updates. First name, last name, put your email in, click the Brower Show and the Health Masters, and that'll get you the weekly newsletters, the coupon sales that we have, and the show directly to your email inbox every single day. So you can just click on it and watch it.
A couple years ago, Jeff Rentz had me come on for Halloween.
Yeah. Halloween.
We didn't talk about Halloween.
You didn't?
We talked about Halloween horror dates.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
No, let me finish.
Here we go again.
And what was funny is it basically ended up being one of the biggest shows he's ever done.
Well, this year we're probably going to air the old Halloween show that we have.
We did
years back, and now there's no visual on this. This is before we had visual.
You know, we can have Mike Barrett add visual, though.
You could. That's actually something AI would be beneficial in. Mm-hmm. Put some different graphs. I still don't make them too graphic. It's a Halloween show. Yeah, but you get to pick some stuff.
Let me tell you about this show. The other day I was.
It's an interesting show.
No, the Doc Marquis's gone now. He's in heaven with, you know, with Jesus. But it was interesting. He, probably about 10 years
yeah.
ago, we did a show with him, and he had been a witch, is what he'd been, and been an Illuminati, all kinds of other weird stuff.
Like, and for real, like legit, real that weird dark world.
So he goes. He went into the detail of what Halloween was.
But he was saved. He got saved later on, though. Mm-hmm.
And he went into detail. And the other night, I had this lady that I was talking to, and she says, "I put up Halloween decorations everywhere, all over my house." And I'm like, "No, don't do that." And she goes, "Well, this is my favorite. This is my favorite holiday."
I never understood that. I've heard that a lot. Halloween's my favorite holiday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, it's all about the occult.
Well, then I told her. I said, "Well, will you do me a favor?" I did a show with a guy by the name of Doc Marquis a few years ago. I said, "Will you listen to it?" She goes, "Well, yeah, I'll listen to it." She's real nice. And so she listened to it. She listened to it twice, Austin.
And, well, you got to listen to it twice, honestly. There's so much information you got to kind of digest.
And then,
it's rough.
And she called me back up and she said, I can't even believe I celebrate Halloween. This is awful. So I can't believe I got my kids involved in this.
Yeah.
And I said, "Yeah, it's like that." And she said she wasn't going to do that anymore. And she could tell she was shaken. She goes, "You know, I went to a Baptist church my whole life when I was young. And they never talked about this. They never talked about the origins of Halloween."
No, they don't.
They don't.
And now, here's the thing. If you got kids, And you got some good churches that kind of do the, you know, trunk or treat, and they're doing like a little thing in the
fall festival,
whatever. But as far as A, going out and trick or treating, that's not even a safe standpoint anymore with all the weirdos that are out there and all the weird internet stuff that's out there. And secondly, it's an occult holiday. And that show, by the way, though, that is not a show for kids. That's a very graphic show as far as what he goes into detail in. That's not a PG show.
It's an R-rated show.
He's got some very graphic stuff. He goes into detail about the Druids and what they're involved in. So you guys could check that out this Halloween. That's what we're doing.
By the way, Benjamin Netanyahu had a standing ovation, which everybody got up and walked out on the nightmare.
It wasn't
an ovation. It was standing.
Said it left. Good riddance.
Delegates storm out of the moments before Netanyahu begins a U.S. Assembly address with the Israeli Prime Minister declaring Western recognition of the Palestine shows murdering Jews pays off.
Wow.
This is Daily Mail. I'm not making this stuff up. I'm reading right out of the Daily Mail. Scores of delegates stormed out of the U.N. General Assembly as Benjamin Netanyahu began his speech defending Israel's war in Gaza. Dozens of delegates from nations, including Iran, stormed out before the Israeli prime minister began a passionate defense of the Israelis' war in Gaza. Shockingly, declaring the Western recognition of Palestine shows murdering Jews pays off.
Wow.
You know, it's so funny. If anybody else says murdering Jews pays off, all hell's going to break loose.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like blacks calling each other with the N-word. It's okay for them to do it, but we can't do it. And we shouldn't do it anyhow because it's bad language. But the reality is that, you know, you say Jews are doing this. Oh, you're an anti-Semite, but he can do it. Just hands off. Netanyahu's office claims that the IDF has taken control of the phones of the Palestinian civilians and Hamas operatives in Gaza, and his UN speech is now being broadcast live. Now, I want to stop for a second here. How advanced is the technology for the IDF and the Jews, since he likes to call them Jews in Israel,
yeah,
that they can take control of the phones of the Palestinian civilians? In other words, the phones that my telephone starts broadcasting stuff.
Yeah.
And I can't turn it off.
Well, dude, we already have that technology in ours. Think about when they do those doggone tests.
But think about it. I'm reading it. Okay. Claims that the IDF has taken control of the phones. I mean, like all the phones.
All the cell phones.
Of the Palestinian civilians and Hamas operatives in Gaza. And his UN speech is now being broadcast live via those devices. It's like you get in there with a stinking OnStar. And you can't shut the stupid thing off. And they won't hang up. It's awful. Gaza residents reportedly received a text message with a link to Netanyahu's speech, but there's no immediate confirmation that the device is being taken over. Now they're coming back with a little bit of backstory, but that's not what he said. In his speech, Netanyahu addressed Palestinians in Gaza, saying that the war can end immediately upon the return of the hostages, lie. The disarmament of Hamas, lie. And the demilitarization of the Strip, lie. It'll end immediately when they get all the people out of Gaza.
Yeah, that's right.
He also hit out one of the Western leaders for recognizing Palestine, giving them a state 1 mile from Jerusalem after October the 7th, like giving Al-Qaeda a state 1 mile from New York after 9/11. If you think that the Muslims did 9/11, you're dreaming. If you think they did it with box cutters, that just didn't happen. He added, this is sheer madness that this is happening, and the Palestinian rejection size of conflict for over a year. And then he brings up a picture of him holding up a big sign that says the curse. Referring to the Arabs. Unbelievable. And then in the past, Netanyahu helped a visual aid, a map of the region titled The Curse, before marking it up with a large mark. He likes to use markers, like he's got some kind of authority or something, like a college professor, and he's going to teach the Goyim how to listen and how to lead and how to read. Oh, I did say Goyim. You're over there at the kitchen over there making a shake. Friday's speech was his chance to push back on the international community's biggest platform. He said Friday Israel has crushed the bulk of armed Palestinian groups and killed many women and children hospitals and destroyed the lives of so many people who had little children that were starving to death. Oh, I added that. Excuse me. Netanyahu celebrated, he said, was a series of Israeli strategic victories as he killed more children and women in hospitals and blew up more Catholic churches. I added that. And that also included targeting Iran's nuclear program. Here's another message to Western leaders. Israel will not allow you to shove a terror state down our throats. We will not commit national suicide because you don't have the guts to face down a hostile media and anti-Semitic mobs. But wait a minute. The Arabs are Semites, too. Oh, did he forget that, Benjamin Netanyahu, that the Arabs are Semites?
They're still the offspring of Abraham. Don't forget that.
I got it. You know, with Isaac, you know, got born, but you know, Ishmael was there before that, and you know, and Sarah
still from Abraham.
I mean, it's the seed of Abraham. Just You might want to read a little history.
Don't send me letters on that. I'm just making a comment.
Netanyahu faces international isolation, accusations of war crimes, and growing pressure. In recent days, Australia, Canada, France, and the United Kingdom, and others have announced their recognition of an independent Palestinian state. A little bit too late for that now. It's kind of gone. The European Union is also considering tariffs and sanctions on Israel. So Israel's getting all angry because the other guys are getting had enough of it. And then he holds up another sign. Who has murdered Americans and Europeans in cold blood? Al-Qaeda, Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran, all of the above. Oh, let us not forget Mossad, which leads most of these organizations. I will tell you the truth, Netanyahu said, I will condemn those leaders instead of condemning the murderers, rapists, and the burners of children. You know, he's such a piece of crap. He's such a steaming pile of feces. He goes in and he kills all these women and children in Gaza, goes in the hospitals, machine guns them, does all the crazy, takes a drone strike with people coming in for aid, blocks flotillas of aids to bring food, and he goes, the murderers of children. He goes, I will condemn those leaders instead of condemning. This is what the globalists do. They do all this stuff, and then they accuse the other people of doing it.
Remember,
it's just pure propaganda.
Remember, that's what Candace Owens did that thing the other day, and think everybody got so mad at her because she goes, why is it that we give them a pass, but everybody else, if they do anything even minutely close to it, we sanction the crap out of them, we block them, and basically tell them they're going to be blocked from the entire world?
I will tell you the truth, Netanyahu, the career criminal, said. I'll condemn those leaders who, instead of condemning the murderers, the rapists, and the burners of children, want to give them a state. Special assembly this week, nation after nation expressed horror at the 2023 attacks. Many of the representatives went on to call for immediate ceasefire. Israel's sweeping offensive has killed more than 65,000 Palestinians in Gaza. It's actually over 200,000. And then what's interesting here is it goes on down here in this article and it starts talking about how Benjamin Netanyahu is forced to deny the disgusting rumor that he had Charlie Kirk killed. This is Daily Mail. This is this disgusting rumor.
When you have to,
Benjamin Netanyahu has issued an extraordinary address denying that he had involvement in Charlie Kirk's assassination. I did not pick up my cell phone right now. I did not. There is not a pink ribbon hanging on my cell phone. This does not exist. You do not see this right now. I deny the existence of this pink ribbon on my cell phone. That's used to find it when it falls under the truck seat.
Thank you for it. I've had multiple people ask me why you always have a ribbon on your phone.
That's why. It's just when it falls under the seat, I can find it. But I'm denying this ever existed. I do not, under any circumstances, have a pink ribbon on my cell phone. Do you not understand? Unbelievable. Oh, my
anyway.
God. No, I got to finish it. Israel Prime Minister has issued an extraordinary address denying any involvement in construction of the assassination. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Netanyahu described the baseless rumor as a monstrous big lie as he likened it to Nazi propaganda. Oh, God, we got to bring the Nazis back on.
Got to bring the Nazis.
You got to bring the Nazis back. Okay, great. Joseph Goebbels, Nazi propaganda. It's almost 100 years ago. We got to bring it back up because it's been so embedded. It's been embedded in the hearts and the minds of the population of the planet. Joseph Goebbels, this Nazi propaganda minister, hat gesagt, the bigger the lie, the faster it will spread, Netanyahu said. Whoa, somebody has fabricated a monstrous big lie that Israel has something to do with Charlie Kirk's horrific murder. This is insane. This is false. I do not have a pink ribbon on my phone. Charlie loved Israel and he loved the Jewish people. He did it one time. He told me it's in a letter that he sent to me a few months ago. No, he didn't. Now, maybe a few years ago. MAGA commentators claim Kirk was growing increasingly critical of Netanyahu's privately. And he was. On his show last week, Tucker Carlson claimed that Kirk did not like Bibi Netanyahu, describing him as a destructive force and saying he was appalled by the events unfolding in Gaza, which is true. In the video on X, Netanyahu continued, he, Kirk, encouraged me to make the case directly to the American people. He told me wholly that is important. Now, if Charlie disagreed with my policy and my decision, here and there, not only did I mind, I welcomed it. No, you don't. This is the essence of Charlie. Oh, God, it's just, God, the guy just doesn't stop lying. Because he added, now that peddling these disgusting rumors, perhaps out of obsession, perhaps with Qatar funding. Oh, there we go.
There we go.
Yes. What happens is you start bombing companies for countries for no reason. What I do know is this. Charlie Kirk was a great man, and a great man deserves honor, not lies. Rest in peace, Charlie Kirk. May your memory be a blessing. Don't let anybody know that Mossad did this to you. Provocateur Candace Owens. Now she's a provocateur.
There you go.
Okay.
She disagrees with something.
Yeah. The rumor of Israeli involvement was fueled by a meeting in early August in which Charlie Kirk, met with a prominent Jewish billionaire, Bill Ackman, in the Hamptons. Provocateur Candace Owens claimed on her podcast that Ackman confronted Kirk about his falling support for Israel. She added that Kirk had declined to visit Israel. Daily Mail spoke to several multiple conservative influencers who attended the event and declined to see any tense moments between the pair. Ackman denied Owens' claims on X Post for the record. At no time have I ever threatened Charlie Kirk. He's not saying I've never blacked anyone, including Charlie Kirk. I've never offered Charlie or Turning Point any money in an attempt to influence Charlie's opinion on anything. Netanyahu has already dismissed insane and absurd online rumors blaming Israel for the fatal shooting of Charlie Kirk. These conspiracy theories started less than an hour after Kirk was killed. Actually, they started about 24 hours after Kirk was killed when we did our podcast. We're the first ones that came out and said this. We were the first ones. Just thought I'd mention that to you. The next day we came out, Austin looked at me and goes, do you think it was Israel? I said, I know it was Israel.
Well, no, that's what's so funny. I had a conversation with my buddy yesterday, who still does contract work. He's worked for the agency. And we're on the phone. He just got back from Libya. He was over in Benghazi. And, I mean, I've known him for years. Great guy. I mean, just straight fighter. And I asked him, I said, what do you think was going on over there? He's like, oh, yeah, we were watching on TV. It's like, when we were just basically on the base over here in Libya, Benghazi. He said, well, everybody knew Israel did it. As soon as it happened, we knew Israel killed him. I said, what? He's like, yeah. We knew 100%. And I'm like, are you sure? He's like, Austin, I'm sitting here with contractors that work for GRS. Israel killed him. And I'm like, okay. I don't need to be talking about this on the phone anymore.
Those conspiracies started less than an hour after Kirk was killed. The Israeli leader told Newsmax, they have no limits when you hate Jews. I don't hate Jews. I really dislike the Luciferian Kabbalah synagogue of Satan. I really dislike those guys. When you hate Jews, you hate the Jewish state. No, you don't. You just don't want to deal with it anymore. You're willing to say anything to promote all these absurd rumors. Netanyahu added, we are fighting on the battlefield against the terrorists and we are winning. And he was fighting on the battlefield of ideas, and I think he was winning. That's why they shot him. No, that's why we shot him, is what he should have said. Unbelievable.
I don't want to give credence to Netanyahu anymore. We've already spent 15 minutes talking about this clown. This is a really big deal that showed up this morning, and I got to address it because I figured this was going to happen. Michigan Congresswoman Haley Stevens now has introduced articles, or is planning on introducing articles, looks like the beginning of the week, of impeachment against Health Secretary RF Kennedy Jr., called the move a political gambit, citing legal questions and the likelihood that Stevens will be successful. However, what they're trying to do is they're trying to throw as much mud at RFK Jr. and see what'll stick. This is what they're doing right now. Ever since this stunt happened, with this unbelievably just hardcore leftist individual that was running CDC, if you guys remember this whole thing, with Susan Moranez, and she got terminated from the CDC, and a bunch of other individuals got terminated because they refused to even address changing the childhood shot schedule. There's a video I'm going to play here in a second, and it's Rand Paul grilling her, Susan Moranez, the dad's favorite cat lady that used to work for the CDC, that one, you remember. And basically he says, what is the medical reason for a hepatitis B shot at birth if the mom's not Hep B positive? And by the way, there is zero. You can do all the research you want. There is absolutely zero scientific reasoning, evidence, or literature that shows that is actually an effective shot for any reason whatsoever. Why are you giving a shot to an infant if the mom's not Hep B positive? The baby's not going to be exposed to hepatitis B, much less it's not going to stop the baby from contracting hepatitis B.
This is the one with the ugly hair and the ugly face. Yeah, she won't answer questions.
Well, no, and what's crazy about it, though, is that this is what was going on now internally in the CDC, is that RFK Jr. and other individuals were saying, listen, we've got to reschedule, we got to change the shot schedule. The childhood shot schedule is growing. Every year it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger with more and more shots, and kids are getting sicker and sicker and sicker. Clearly there's a correlation. So I'm going to play it here now and let you guys listen to this. She will not answer it.
This is the one we told you about. I couldn't stand the way she looks.
Horrible one. This is a couple days ago.
No medical reason. What is the medical reason to give a hepatitis B vaccine to a newborn whose mom has no hepatitis?
So none of the discussion points that you just brought up were ever...
That's changing the childhood schedule.
She won't answer.
You have your time, Bernie. I got mine. Look, This is the debate over changing the childhood schedule. The hepatitis B vaccine on the schedule is given to newborns. What is the medical, scientific reason and proof for giving a newborn a hepatitis B vaccine if the mom is Hep B negative?
I want to go back to the assertion associated.
What is the medical reason for giving a hepatitis B vaccine to a newborn? See, everybody's like blithely going along. We can't change the childhood. You're somehow terrible if you want to change the childhood. We should be discussing what is the childhood vaccine schedule, and you should be, the burden should be on you. You want to make all the kids take this? The burden is upon you and the people you wouldn't fire to prove to us that we need to give our six-month-old a COVID vaccine and that we need to give our one-day-old a hepatitis B vaccine. That's what the debate ought to be about, not whether all vaccines are good or whether we live in Alice in Wonderland.
I actually agree with you, and I was open to the science. I just would not pre-commit to approving all the ACIP recommendations.
Won't answer questions.
Science. Untrue.
Won't answer it. Still won't answer it. Won't answer it.
Lying, steaming pile of horse dung.
This is why she got terminated. And the problem with it was, the more I'm researching, I'm finding out now, is that every single thing they brought up to her, as far as saying, hey, previously when she was actually acting CDC director, everything they brought up to her, she refused it. There's no science here. There's no science here. There's no reason to change everything.
Years ago, with the COVID vaccine, I spoke to one of the former head people at the Food and Drug Administration, PhD, Harvard, right? And and they took the shot, and they've had all kinds of health problems.
Yeah.
Husband ended up having doggone, aorta dissection from it. And what was crazy about it is she would not answer the question.
Same thing.
Why are you taking this? Well, they said we need to. Why are you taking this? Why are you taking a shot that doesn't have a label in it, that doesn't tell you what's in it? Why do you trust them? Well, because they told us to. Why are you doing this? There's no proof it does anything. It didn't make a difference. It's like talking to this box of purple sticks. Hey, you're purple sticks. We're almost out of stock. We have a couple boxes left. Oh, purple stick. Oh, you're empty. We've already gone through this box. It doesn't have anything in it. Oh, Mr. Purple Stick, why are you not answering me? Okay, purple stick, I'm asking you one more time. Why are you almost out of inventory?
You're not getting a response.
I'm not getting a response. That's like talking to these weirdos. And you think, at least you've got to give me some science. Like he said, what is the science between giving a brand new newborn baby, a hepatitis B shot if the mother is hepatitis negative? Why are you doing this?
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of different factors associated with vaccine release.
No, what is the research?
Well, and here's the thing, and this is something that he brought up a while back ago, and it's one of the research studies that shows Hep B vaccine damages the liver. And injections. And it says here, startling research public in the Journal of Adaptus indicates that Hep B vaccine, which is designed to prevent hepatitis B, damages the liver and actually causes liver cell destruction. They found the hepatitis B vaccine induced loss of mitochondrial integrity, cell death in liver cells exposed to a low dose of adjuvant hepatitis B vaccine. The adjuvant uses aluminum hydroxide, which increasingly be more identified as contributing cause of autoimmune disease in almost the whole population.
Neurotoxin.
Now, here's the thing that I got to get into a second ago, because I got to address this real quick. I've had multiple people email me and question stuff about, okay, Austin, we know the hepatitis B shot has absolutely zero function whatsoever. No purpose, no positive purpose whatsoever. But they're still telling me when my child's born, I need to get a vitamin K shot. That's a whole another topic that I'm now going to address.
Listen real close right now, friends.
This is an ampule, a vitamin K shot. I've held one in person multiple times. On the side here, you probably can't see it in the photo as well because it's not big enough. It says, contains no more than 100 micrograms of aluminum adjuvant. It says it on the vial. All the boxes say it, all the vials. I've seen it multiple times. I actually had one of these a while back if somebody brought me. I couldn't find it yesterday. It's in one of my drawers. No more than 100 micrograms of aluminum, okay?
That's neurotoxin.
That's in a baby that was just born that's 6, 7, 8, 9 pounds, right? 100 micrograms of aluminum is a neurotoxin. Now, you have to ask yourself the question. When you go into physicians for informed consent, here's an unbiased topic on aluminum. Not pro-aluminum, not anti-aluminum. Now, I wanted you guys to read this so you can see it. It says, why is aluminum in vaccines? Certain vaccines use aluminum components as adjuvants. The ingredients enhance the immune response to an antigen. The U.S. FDA states that if some vaccines do not include aluminum, the immune response they trigger may be diminished. So they add aluminum. Aluminum is not is an abundant metal in the Earth's crust. However, aluminum is not naturally found in any significant amounts of living organism. Period.
It's toxic.
Aluminum has no known biological effect whatsoever as far as being a health benefit.
This is why so many plants are dying from being sprayed with chemtrails.
Now, it's funny. It says which vaccines contain aluminum, and it goes in the Hep B, the DTaP, the hepatitis A, hepatitis, all the other ones. But what's funny on here is it doesn't say anything about the vitamin K shot, which the vitamin K shot has almost as much aluminum as the hepatitis B. The hepatitis B has 125 micrograms of aluminum. The vitamin K has 100. And then in detail here, it says the U.S. FDA, the HHS, recognizes aluminum as a known neurotoxin. The FDA is warned about the risk of aluminum toxicity in infants and child. In the Federal Register right now, it says...
It says
the term... Infants with normal renal function may also be at risk because of rapidly growing an immature brain and skeleton and immature blood-brain barrier. Until they are 1 to 2 years old, infants have a lower glomerular filtration rates than adults, which affects their kidney function. The agency is concerned that young children and children with immature renal function are at higher risk resulting from exposure to aluminum. This is the FDA in 2003.
This is neural damage.
They're saying aluminum is going to cause a lot of neural damage and a lot of kidney problems in a lot of young children because they're not developed. Then you have the Department of Health and Human Services state, aluminum is a neurotoxin and exposure can lead to significant alterations in motor function, sensory function, and cognitive function.
Makes you stupid.
I'm not making any of this up. This is what the departments are actually saying about aluminum. So then I go back to here. Why is it that a vitamin K shot has 100 micrograms
of aluminum? Remember, vitamin K is not a vaccine.
It's not a vaccine. It's a vitamin K injection, assuming that the mother had very, very poor prenatal nutrition.
It's a vitamin shot.
It's a vitamin shot. Why would it have 100 micrograms of aluminum in it if it's not designed to induce basically an immune response? It's not an adjuvant for an immune response because it's not a vaccine. The question you got to ask yourself is, they know this. So they're intentionally trying to tell you, oh, the vitamin K shot's safe. Because I thought the vitamin K shot was safe with Hunter. He never got it, but I was curious about it because I knew hepatitis B, heck no. And I asked one of the midwives, and I said, what about vitamin K shot? She goes, well, you know, if the mother isn't getting proper vitamin K, I said, well, they're on ultimate prenatals and folate, MTHF, and omega-3 fats. I'm like, vitamin K is not an issue. She said, no, vitamin K is not an issue. Well, then I got an ampule, and I said, why does this have 100 micrograms of aluminum in it? This isn't a vaccine. This is not supposed to elicit an immune response. It doesn't need an adjuvant. It's literally a vitamin shot. And they said, they all have it, Austin. All of them have 100 micrograms of aluminum in it.
Now, they could be using it as a sterilant.
But sterilant?
No. A sterilant because aluminum is so toxic, nothing grows.
I was about to say, possibly.
But the problem is that
you can use benzyl alcohol.
They don't even have to use that. They can make sure that the shots are fresh.
They're single ampule too.
They have to have a 50-year shelf life. But the reality is they're putting a neurotoxin in a vitamin shot.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
Yeah, and then they tell you, and then they'll argue with you in the hospital if you decline the Hep B. A lot of times now they'll say, okay, this is fine. But the child needs the vitamin K shot. They have to have it. Why? Vitamin K to the roof in the mothers, very, very healthy, top-tier prenatals from Health Masters. Why do they need a vitamin K shot? Which standard procedure? You're injecting 100 micrograms of aluminum into an infant that just got born. You just saw the article here now. The Department of Human Health and Services says it leads to alteration of motor function, sensory function, and cognitive function. It's a neurotoxin, and it trashes the brain and the kidneys. So again, there's no legitimate purpose to be injecting this into their body. And then you have the article that just came out last month with Henry Ford's birth cohort, vax versus unvax, reported vaccination kids have 453% more neurodevelopmental disorders, 57 are in a chronically ill.
Text me that, please.
Yeah, I went into detail on this last month on the show. You guys can look at it. Key findings compared to unvaccinated children. Put it on camera four. Look at this. These, by the way, were statistically significant in their findings. 329% more asthma, 203% more atopic diseases, 496% autoimmune diseases, 453% more neurodevelopmental disorders. This isn't a minute amount. These are huge numbers here. I had a listener, a new listener yesterday. Somebody put him on the show. He's been listening to the show, and him and his wife pregnant, his wife's pregnant. They're having a baby in a couple months, and he's asking me about the vaccines. Like, I'm really curious about this now. I'm doing my research. What do you think? I sent him this article and a whole host of other articles, and then one platform has got like 600 articles on vaccine damage. Do the research on what he's trying to put in these kids at a young age, because you ask yourself the question. We have the highest shot schedule rate in the entire world. We have allegedly the highest amount of basically preservatives in all these vaccines than anywhere in the world, and we have the sickest children in the entire world. Think anything? Any of these are starting to go hand in hand? Think they have any type of effect now?
Okay, we got to back out. Got to do a funny story.
Back out, okay.
You got to breathe. Okay.
Whatever, you got
okay,
to
the veins are sticking out on your neck.
My crud is coming out. Not too bad.
No, it's just blood pressure. Your brachiocephalic down. Return is like dilated. I'm like, huh?
All right,
frightening.
Calm down.
You got to make sure he stays okay here.
I'm good. All right. Well, it frustrates me. This is a big topic.
Well, no. Let's
I've watched
we're,
so many
we're,
kids.
No, we're going to notch it down.
All right. Bubblegum story.
We have a brother and sister that we know. Okay. We kind of raised them, honestly. Help raise them. And the one guy basically is the one who basically shot his kid up with the vaccines and that causing him to develop autism and said it would be God's will if he had autism. Okay. Well, after all that happened to him, everybody in the family started taking another look at this stuff. And so he had a sister. I won't mention her name. Let's call her Alice. It's not Alice, but we're going to call her Alice. And so Alice has a child, and she vaccinates the first one, and the girl's got
only the first shots.
Mm-hmm. And she has some developmental disorders. So finally, she got to Health Masters. We got to her after all these problems with autism in the family, and she had another baby.
And well, the first one didn't have any significant problems with this. It was only a few, but it was.
We're not much getting names, but we're not. But it wasn't like full blown autism. You're right. And so she has the last one she has. And this boy got no shots, and the last trimester, she loaded up on cod liver oil, which massively increases the IQ of the infant because of the brain development. Because remember, when a woman has a baby in her, the baby has to have specific nutrients, and the body will cannibalize the nutrients from the mother in order to give the baby the nutrients, including omega-3 fats, which helps with brain development.
Remember, the brain's all fat.
Brain's all fat. So the last trimester, we always encourage people to increase the amount of omega-3 fat in their diet to help brain development. Yep. So she did that. She goes, I listened to your dad. This child's out of control. He's so smart. He's smarter than all the other. Tell him what she said.
It's like Stetson. Well, yeah, we were talking the other day because Stetson's.
So tell us, this is our happy, happy moment.
Stetson's the same way as her son, and they're just off the charts with IQ points. I mean, just the development, the reasoning skills at an early age, the fact that for some odd reason, both of them have zero fear factor. I mean, it's like zero fear factor. If they get a hold of a ladder, they're on the roof in seconds. The other day, I got a giant bunk bed that I had made for Hunter years ago. The other day, I go in Hunter's room. Stetson's on top of the bunk
18
bed.
18 months.
Trying to get on the roof of the bunk bed. He's got this big roof on it, and he's laughing, trying to jump onto the fan. He's got 10-foot ceilings in the house. I'm like, what are you doing? And he's starting to build stuff on top of the roof that he wants to jump off. I'm like, okay, we got to calm it down. Let's take it down a notch. And they're wide open. They don't stop. And that's what happened. They both of them got enormous amounts of cod as far as in the last trimester. And so.
No, it's funny. I was 4 years old.
Yeah.
And it was cottage number two on my mom's property. We had the barn. We had cottage number one, cottage number two. And it was cottage number two, and we were doing some roof work. Dad was up on the roof working.
Yeah.
I'm like 4 years old, five years old, 3 years old. I see the ladder.
Oh, ladder.
Ladder. And I see everybody going up the ladder. I've run up the ladder.
Yeah.
My mom's having a conniption fit. Dad's laughing. He's going, what the heck is this kid doing? I'm up on the roof looking at him going, oh, that's a long way.
Always down.
So then they had to help me get down the ladder. Get off that ladder. Get off that roof. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm not doing something I'm supposed to be doing here. But no, you have that exploratory thing. I remember we had all these skeleton keys and all these locking assemblies in the cottages, and they'd all been painted shut. I told you guys a story the other day. And I'm like 8 years old, and my mom's trying to figure out how to open these doors. And I said, you want me to fix it? I'm 8 years old. I don't know how to fix anything, right?
But it's just exploratory.
No, but I took them apart and I fixed them.
Yeah.
I said, I see how this works. This is great. This key matches this lock assembly. And finally, I walk up to the bar and I said, okay, here are the keys for this cottage, this cottage, this cottage. I'm eight.
Yeah.
And she goes, you're kidding, right? And I'm like, no, I fixed them. And she goes, oh. And she went down there. She goes, you really did fix them. I said, I told you I would fix them. And she's thinking, but that's what happens when you have enough nutrients. Remember, my mom wasn't taking, Health Master supplements, but the food back then wasn't all trashed out either.
Glyphosate wasn't even around in the 50s yet.
No, we'd have a lot of poison, and I didn't get any shots. And so when I see this and I realize these kids basically get dumbed down from the, well, first of all, they started pumping all the doggone fluoride into the water supply in 46 after we found out they'd used it in Dachau, which makes you infertile and basically servile. And so in 46, they started pumping the fluoride into our water supply. I was raised on well water. Period. There's no telling how many toxins were, but what as bad as it is now. But the crazy part was that wasn't enough, Austin, to dumb the population down.
No.
They had to get the childhood vaccines cranked
Because you got number two, back in the 50s, especially in the rural parts, even down here in Florida, everybody's on a well. Mm-hmm. And in a lot of the small municipalities didn't start putting fluoride in the water supply that early because of how doggone corrosive it was.
Hydrofluorosilicic acid.
Yeah, so they couldn't do it. So all those systems back then would start just deteriorating.
I was on a cruise ship, and I asked the captain, I said, do you put fluoride in the water? He says, fluoride in the water? No, that's hydrofluorosilicic acid. It eats the pipes. Yeah. You can't do it. You can't get to the pipes. They're too hard to get inside of the walls. He says, no, we don't use any of that. It's not safe. Yeah, think about that for a second. And that's one of the reasons it has so much lead release in these big cities.
Yes.
From the fluoride from the
acid. Michigan and all that, because the fluoride leaches the lead out and it starts basically, Now you got fluoride in it. Now you got to load it with lead.
Now remember, I'm going to stop. We're going to drop it back a notch here and go back to what we were talking about a second ago, you know, with the function of the aluminum, et cetera. The entities that are on this planet that run us in the other dimensions, we talked about it at Angel Wars in depth, and I just posted Angel Wars today to the website in the news stories for you guys to listen to again. The entities know how we were built because they can't create life, but then they know how we function.
They know intravenous aluminum's unbelievably toxic.
And so is mercury.
Yes, to the brain.
You know, and so they know that. And so what they want to do is dumb you down as much as you possibly can so you will be servile and infertile, and you won't question them, and you won't think about God and Jesus. That's one of the reasons they had to kill Charlie Kirk.
Yeah.
Because he was coming to college campuses talking about Jesus. Yep. And he was converting hundreds of thousands of people globally with his teachings and with his talks and waking the world up about Israel. Yeah, I just dropped my glasses. There you go. That's what he was doing. The entities had to stop that, because we talked about the other day about how the AI algorithm they used, the Lavender program, was saying, this guy's going to have a following of hundreds of millions. I mean, we had 100 million people going to his service. Oh, by the way, some of those brain-dead Butch Dyke lesbians who were pregnant now that were basically swallowing Tylenol by the bucketful the other day to prove Donald Trump was an idiot. Yeah, they're dead now. They died of toxicity, and some of their babies are now on neonatal intensive care trying to keep them alive.
I feel sorry for the child.
I feel sorry for the child. The mother's, what did you call it yesterday?
It's called natural selection. Natural finest example.
Natural selection, which means the fittest survive.
And I'm not promoting Darwinism, but natural selection.
We're not promoting evolution.
No, natural selection is a completely different theory, and it's very accurate. The strongest and most fit survive, and people that do stupid stuff or animals do stupid stuff out in nature, they die. It's natural selection. The slowest, weakest, dumbest die. It's just part of it with animals. Natural selection is the finest example. These idiots swallowing Tylenol. It says on the bottle, will cause liver damage. It's one of the number one cause of liver failure and hospitalizations, over 60,000 a year. I'm mad at Trump. I'm going to prove my point. I'm pregnant. I'm going to swallow a whole bottle of Tylenol.
I had a friend of mine who's right now, she's going to be a nurse practitioner.
Yeah.
And I was talking to her the other day, and she said that one of the primary causes of overdoses she sees in teenagers is Tylenol.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. All
she
time.
Said, and I told her, I said, it needs to come off the market. I said, it never would have been approved had it been approved now.
No, absolutely not. It's a very old drug. Instead of fentanyl, it's an old drug. It needs to be scheduled. It needs to be scheduled in a small amount for painkillers.
At least it's scheduled for.
Because the only time that it needs to be used, in my opinion, is scheduled as a controlled substance for people that can't handle opioids or they have an issue. They need a mild painkiller
for a
short period of time. That's it. But putting this stuff in everything,
my
favorite is still NyQuil. Alcohol and Tylenol in the same bottle. NyQuil is 10% alcohol, by the way, if you guys didn't know that, with a high dose of acetaminophen.
Ethanol. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, basically whiskey.
Yeah. I mean, which that can help you go to sleep better if you got the flu. But golly, stacking acetaminophen?
Unbelievable.
One thing that I want to address here, though, and here's the part that people have to understand, because a lot of these individuals, like this lady we just showed this video on a minute ago, they're nightmares. The reason why they're nightmares is this. We're in 2025. The research, the data, the statistical relevance of all this information we have from the FDA, from HHS, showing that aluminum's a known neurotoxin, showing all the different ways you can manufacture and produce things that are cleaner. They know aluminum's unbelievably toxic. They know it's unbelievably toxic to the brain and the kidneys. Yet they still keep it in the shots. Do you really think in 2025 that the technology we have, the advanced research we have, the level of technology we have with DARPA, you're telling me that we can't figure out how to make a shot that doesn't have an aluminum adjuvant in it and still elicit an immune response?
You're saying a shot is a vitamin.
Are you kidding me? We have 100 micrograms of aluminum in a vitamin K shot, and it's still in there in 2025, and we know aluminum is a neurotoxin. They're not doing it by accident, guys. They're trying to keep everybody as sick as they possibly can.
And as stupid as they can.
They want everybody eating glyphosate. They want everybody eating hydrogenated oil. They want everybody getting these shots of aluminum in them. Because remember, individuals that don't have much cognitive reasoning can't really question the narrative. They can't push back, and they don't really become a problem. They're not disagreeable. That's a huge factor you've got to remember to always be in something that doesn't make sense. Be disagreeable. Somebody says, well, yeah, we need 100 milligrams of aluminum in the vitamin K shot. Why? I don't agree with that at all. Aluminum is a neurotoxin. Why would you do that? Make them answer their question. Like this lady. What is the statistical response? What is the significant scientific evidence of putting a Hep B shot in a brand new baby? Mom's not Hep B. She will not answer it.
There is no reason.
There is no answer that's right, that's positive. It's all because we want to inject this child with more aluminum, more toxic, cause more autoimmune response right when they're born. Period. There's no other reason for that shot whatsoever.
Pregnant liberal woman suffers fatal Tylenol overdose after trying to prove Trump wrong, now allegedly on ventilator fighting for her life.
Wow.
Okay. Nicole Struckett, founder of the American Frontline Nurses, claimed that she received a frantic 4 a.m. call from a distraught husband whose pregnant wife is now on a ventilator after overdosing on Tylenol. According to Struckett, the woman, who was between 23 and 25 weeks pregnant, attempted to ingest massive amounts of Tylenol in an effort to prove Donald Trump wrong.
I mean, Donald Trump.
Okay, I'm going to say something.
This has been a long time, and everybody knows this.
They're stupid. And then there's this. All right. Just when you think that stupid had no bottom, that people could not be any more stupid, this shows up. Pregnant. I'm about to say an ugly word here, but I'm not going to do it. Okay, according to Strucker, the woman basically would prove Trump was wrong. As Gateway Pundit reported, President Trump on Monday announced the use of acetaminophen, the active ingredient in Tylenol, which, by the way, is in hundreds of products, can increase the risk of autism when used by pregnant women. Okay? Today, the FDA will issue a physician's notice about the risk of acetaminophen. Following the historic announcement, pregnant leftists took to TikTok. Remember, these are the butch dyke lesbian weirdos who may not be completely butch dyke. They may be bisexual because they're married. I'm not going to go there right now. I could, but I'm not going to. I've had enough of interpreting. I'm stopping. Following the historic announcement, pregnant leftists took to TikTok to mock Trump, warning about the Trump. They collected several videos of these snarky liberals popping Tylenol pills while acting like they were performing some act of defiance. You know, it's like stupid people are stupid, right? You got to got that. You know, Jim Rohn used to say, people that are liars, don't try to change them because that's what they are. They're liars. It's the same thing now with stupid. But remember Forrest Gump? What was that? You know, life's like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. Stupid is as stupid does. This is as stupid as it gets. You're pregnant. You got a baby in you, another life in you, but you hate Donald Trump so much that you're going to ingest a bottle of Tylenol to prove a point that he's wrong.
Gosh. Natural selection.
Well,
baby.
No. I mean, you can't even make it. You can't even make this stuff up. You're like, well, why didn't she read the label that it says severe liver toxicity occurs with overdose? Number one cause of accidental hospitalizations. Number one cause of liver failure nationwide. So let's go ahead and eat a bottle of it and see what happens. You know Jim. You don't know. He's the tall guy. Good friend of Chris's. Yeah. Not going to mention any last names. He had a good friend of his a few years ago. Went out and got drunk. Got real drunk. Seven sheets of the wind. Somebody had to drive him home. Sucked down a bunch of Tylenol that night with the alcohol. Next morning, he's in liver failure in the hospital, and he died. He's in his 20s.
He died.
He's dead. Oh, he's dead. And you know, you think, well, and it's one, by the way, Tylenol is used as one of the primary sources of suicide.
Oh, I know.
That's just to let you know. So when you have somebody that's, why don't you do this? You're pregnant, and you hate Donald Trump. All right, well, that's great. I'm happy for you. Okay, let me look up toxicity effects of Tylenol. Oh, cause suicide. Oh, it can cause liver failure. Oh, cause autism. Oh, it can cause hospitalization. Oh, cause liver failure. All right. I don't think I'm going to take this.
Again.
Natural selection, bro.
That's my point on that. Now, there's another article that came up here. I want to cover it. It says B vitamins, your brain's natural repair kit. So if you have had, you know, certain damage to degree of wear and tear on your body's nervous system or your brain, there's something called neuroplasticity. The brain can actually heal itself in some cases, depending on what's been happening, and especially with wear and tear. And it says key factors on why B vitamins are so important here. And it says daily wear and tear on the nervous system is normal, but B vitamins play an important role in maintenance and regeneration. Listen to this here. The bodies cannot produce vitamin B. Thus, we must obtain them from our diet. I've talked about this all the time. They're water soluble, which means they aren't stored in the fat. Give me a camera four. It says they have to be consumed regularly to maintain adequate supply. Three essential B vitamins for nervous system are B1, B6, and B12, which prevent nerve degradation and help renovate cells and safeguard healthy nerve signaling. A well-balanced diet featuring ample B vitamins could be particularly relevant to averting the onset of increased prevalent chronic conditions such as neuropathic pain, cognitive decline, and mood disorders. This is one of the reasons why we always talk about why the B complex is such an effective supplement here, because it has unbelievably high dose of B vitamins here. Give me camera four on this. Look at the dose that we have, and I break it down for you in very clear form. Like the B12, that's our methylcobalamin, high dose methylated B vitamins. Notice these are all methylated formulas. They're designed to make sure the body can absorb them as easily and adequately as possible. Because remember, certain people have a lack of enzyme that they can't necessarily absorb and break down certain B vitamins properly unless they're methylated. This is why a lot of times people have B12 deficiency in their blood, and they constantly are trying to get their B12 up, and they can't because they're using cyanide cobalamin supplements or even the injectable. The sublingual B12 we have is really, really good at getting your blood levels up very quickly in the B complex. So again, that's why I want everybody to see that on here and understand why it's so important. That's why I want to cover that article on here on the B complex and as far as what it's so important for in the healthy nervous system as well.
The first trimester, you got to really increase the B vitamins and the folate.
Well, the whole time, I think. Because the baby's sucking those vitamins out the entire time.
Our prenatals are the best in the world.
Period. No, they are.
And I recommend if you're going to do the prenatals, take a couple of B complex with it. In the last trimester, you take a lot more cod liver oil.
And the folate.
And the folate.
The MTHF.
Yep.
The folate is enormously important, which
prevent spinal tube defects.
The prenatals we have already has the methyl tetrahydrofolate, the MTHF. The difference is we have it separately if you want to run it on the secondary supplement as far as.
It will not hurt you with extra because it's water soluble.
It's water soluble. So again, someone to cover that. Now, this is an interesting story. I'm going to switch gears on this now. You know, Comey just got indicted.
Good riddance.
Nah, piece of crap. Listen, this just came out now, though. Leaked memo now reveals Comey was involved in the FBI deployed a stunning 274 agents on January 6th. You remember when the internal review came out and they said there was only 51 FBI agents that were January 6th? 274 plainclothes FBI agents, but they were not lettered up.
Provocateurs.
They were not wearing badges. They were not wearing shields. They were complete civilian clothes, undercover FBI. That entire incident was one giant FBI scheme to arrest the enormous Patriot population.
Which we talked about repeatedly for 4 years.
Yep. They said it here that basically an effort became
break the back of the Patriot movement.
Internal chasm within the agency led to rank and file at the Bureau. The core competencies had been lost to wokeness, and the employees had become pawns in a political war hidden over the public for over 4 years. January 6th was essentially an FBI giant sting operation. These guys were everywhere. Remember the guys that nobody could figure out? Well, we knew where they were, but we could never get clear identification. They got ski masks pulled up. They got earpieces in. They got comms in their pocket, and they're breaking windows out.
And wearing goggles.
Wearing goggles, hats. And everybody goes, what are you doing? Why are you breaking the window out? Don't record me. Don't you record me. Okay, you're a Fed. Golly. And we saw that over and over and over again. Remember that whole giant witch hunt of January 6th? I mean, going to, what was it, Wisconsin, arrest that 72-year-old grandma and extraditing her back to D.C. to charge her for trespassing on federal ground. That whole thing was a complete and total Fed operation.
And PSYOP and PSYCOP and everything else.
It was. It was to mentally beat down the Patriot community. That's what it did. Everybody was like,
and arrested leaders of the Patriot community.
Tons of them.
Over 1,000.
I mean, that one guy got, 22 years? Wasn't even there.
Rhodes, yeah. He was in a hotel outside of town.
Nuts, dude. So I thought you guys would get a kick out of that. Not that it's funny, but the more we dig into it now, years down the road, we're finding out for the first time the FBI had almost 300 agents deployed in plain clothes and with guns, by the way, that were concealed with no clear gear or recognition that they were law enforcement. They're all carrying firearms.
You know, and again, that's one of the big peeves I've got with Trump. And I'm really happy he pardoned him after 4 years.
He did follow through that when he got back.
4 years. But he could have done it. He had 20 days.
I think that the problem with it is, and I'm not sticking up for some of all of his behavior, but I think that whole incident got so much political blowback that I think he really wasn't sure what to do. I don't even think he thought it was going to be as big as
remember,
it was.
Remember Mike Lindell went to him and said, this is the problem. Here we go. Here we go. He sent him immediately to the attorneys at the White House.
Yeah.
He said, this is something you have to talk to them about.
Yeah.
Remember that? He's from MyPillow. Now he's pretty much bankrupt, bless his heart. And he basically put it all on the line for Trump. And Trump basically didn't know what to do at the end, or Trump was being told at the end he couldn't do anything. And Trump had a lot of disinformation. But Trump, in my opinion, should have pardoned everybody from January the 6th before he left office. And that would have, even if it hadn't been able to hold up, it would have still been enough to muddy up the water to stop a lot of the arrests.
Yeah.
It would have been.
Well, it got ridiculous. I mean, they had full digital billboards all across I-75 down here in Florida from the FBI saying, if you see someone involved in this, photos up on them, contact the FBI immediately, reward money. And I'm going, who's paying for these billboards? Ads in Florida are expensive on the side of the interstate. Who's paying for all this stuff?
Sabbatane, Kabbalist, Luciferian, Synagogue of Satan.
We were with our taxpayer dollars.
Well, the crazy part about it is that when you see it, I remember Jeff Rentz saved your butt and my butt on that deal.
Oh, he did.
Jeff did. Thank you, Jeff. He basically said, Ted, if you go up there, you and Austin, you're not coming back.
We knew a ton of people.
You're
either
going to be killed or you're going to be arrested. He told me, and he's right. That's probably what would happen.
I probably would have got wrapped up in it, honestly. Yeah. The problem is a lot of the people that were doing it, they were sitting there trying to cause harm or break windows or cause issues. Everybody's mad. Everybody's emotions are high. Then you got people at the front line going, we're going in. And then the police open up the gates.
Well, you see what happened the last couple hours of the election night. Everything changed.
Yeah.
You know, 20 million votes showed up.
No. So you had a full vertical spike on the board.
Well, Trump wasn't supposed to win the election.
No.
They needed to have four more years of fomenting chaos, of basically Biden bringing in another 20 million people.
They brought all.
Here's the good news. I was in church on Sunday or last Saturday, and we were having the induction of a new pastor.
Yep.
The place was packed out. I mean, it was packed out. And now they're saying here in the Western Journal, unlike anything we've ever seen, pastors say church attendance is exploding in the wake of Charlie Kirk's assassination.
That's true.
This is globally now, happened with David Crank and a bunch of other friends that I have at big churches. Churches are linking the recent increase in attendance at September 11th assassination of Charlie Kirk, whose public embrace of Christianity was a deep and profound thread in his message as he visited college campuses as part of Turning Point USA. Attendance at Covo Church in Reno this weekend was unlike anything we've ever seen. A friend of Kirk's. We had more people give their life to Christ yesterday than on any single day in the incredible history of our church. 70,000 people worshiped Jesus at Charlie Kirk's funeral. Many Christians slandered Charlie for not being a true Christian. They called him all sorts of names, but Charlie was as Christian as any Christian could be, and the news of his death, and the people went back. And now, you know, so again, all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Am I happy that Charlie Kirk got killed? Absolutely not. It's a tragedy of immense proportions. But the devil always overplays his hands. And God realized that Charlie Kirk was going to be a martyr. He was going to be a person that's going to cast a seed. The seed has been cast already by Charlie, and now that seed's going to grow in all of the colleges and universities and places. And I personally believe we're going to have a massive revival in the United States, which is what the Sabbatane and Kabbalist Luciferian Synagogue of Seven, or the boys that took down Building 7, don't want to have happen. But that's what's going to happen now, because people are waking up to what Charlie said. I would like to see somebody take a message from Charlie Kirk in which he's talked about Israel, and that's all he would talk about in an entire tape of probably 10 or 15 minutes, and post it.
Yeah.
And say, okay, this is what's going on with Israel. This is why I don't support Israel anymore. This is why I'm doing this. And post that whole video on YouTube. Send it to me. I'll post it on our website, and we'll get it going out there, because people need to know what his true stance was on Israel and Gaza. Christians can't promote the killing of the innocents. I'm going to say that again. Don't touch the little ones, Jesus said. It'd be better for you for a millstone be tied around your neck. And going into Gaza and killing all these little children is a nightmare right out of the pit of hell. It is.
That's true.
And there is no excuse for Christians supporting this. And there's no use for Christians endorsing this. This is not okay. They will know that you are my disciples because you love one another. You can't do it by force. It's done through love. That's the change. Christianity changed everything. Jesus loved us so much that he gave his life for us on the cross. God loved us so much. The creator of the universe gave his life for us on the cross. It was love, not hate. Told Peter to put your sword down in the Garden of Gethsemane. This has not come by sword. I'm not doing this. I can call 50,000 angels right now and stop this. I've got to do this. That's what I've done. If you read it earlier, he says he's already gone to the Father three times to try to stop and try something else.
Yeah.
God said, no, this is the only way we can do it. This is the way it's set up. Because God was omnipresent. Jesus wasn't omnipresent when he's in his human form. God knew what had to be done. And Christ, obedient to the end, said, okay, I voluntarily am going to do this. Peter, put your sword away. Unbelievable that a God would do this for us, that our God would do this for us, that the creator of the universe would do this for us. I mean, Jesus is the creator. He's the author, the finisher, the perfecter of our faith, and he died for us. Always remember that. We don't have to be perfect. And by, I certainly am not perfect. We don't have to be the best we can be. We just have to do the best we can. That's all we can do for anything, because we're not saved by works. We're saved by grace through faith through our Lord Jesus Christ. Always remember that. That's who God is. That's who Jesus is. That's how much he loved you. An eternal being, an omnipresent being, whose timeline was forever changed because of the cross, did that willingly for you and for me. Think about that when you're in church on Sunday, and thank him for what he's done. I love you guys. I really do. We're almost out of time today, but I just want to give you some positive news that the churches are filling up again, Austin.
Well, they are. I told you last week I wasn't in, but the week before that, right after Charlie Kurtz thing, the church that I go to over there, I mean, it was packed. I had people like trying to find seats in the back and standing. I mean, I'm like, golly. I mean, it's packed. Whole parking lot's packed.
Because remember the Sabbatean Kabbalist, Luciferian Synagogue of Satan said that we could go to Walmart, we could go to casinos, but we couldn't go to church.
That's exactly right. And I remember then there was a lot of pastors that were getting flack. I mean, they were going, remember law enforcement was going in and ticketing people. They were having parking lot churches. They were sitting in their car, turning on the radio to a certain station, the pastor's preaching, and they were going in. I forgot what state that was in. They were going in issuing citations. You're breaking the mandate. Mandate? What the heck is a mandate? There's no mandate. You can do whatever you want to do. This is the United States of America. We have a constitution. Mandates don't supersede the constitution. And other news, too. I'm going to give everybody kind of a heads up on this. Yesterday in the state of Florida, I told you guys this, the open carry.
Did it start?
Started yesterday. Please don't try to start doing really stupid stuff. If you want to exercise your Second Amendment, do so, but don't make the Second Amendment community look like a bunch of idiots.
Be subtle with it.
There's a guy, and he's a black guy, and I don't care what color he was. He did this big video yesterday going into Walmart. It's up in Jacksonville, and he slapped a full M4 on, and he's walking around Walmart with an M4 hanging off of him, and people are like kind of asking what's going on. He's like, it's my right to do this. I'm exercising my Second Amendment right. I can carry this gun anywhere I want. And finally, cops showed up, and they said, you can do this. But this is private property. If Walmart don't want you here, they said, but dude, really, what's the point? What are you doing?
I mean, we want to be a TikTok famous person.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it was. They, what are you doing? You know, you're going into Walmart with an M4. You're not even buying anything. You got this M4 slung around. You're walking around. I mean, full mag, hot chamber, everything. And they're like, you know, yes, you can do this, but don't do this for likes. Don't do this to make a spectacle out of it, because it makes the rest of the community look really, really bad.
And you know what's crazy about this? Okay, and if I was law enforcement, I would be really, really anxious about this. I'd be like, what the heck's he doing with that?
Because now here's the problem. You know, you got all these weirdos that are nutbags. You know, we got trannies now that are complete lunatics. Now, something like, we got another call. Guys walking around Walmart with an M4. That's going to be the call over the radio.
Because the cop doesn't know what's going to happen.
We have somebody in Walmart with an M4. Oh, God. All right. Well, just put SWAT on standby. I don't know what's going to happen here. We got to go basically make contact.
This is seriously deadly force.
Oh, yeah. And so, again, I always, always recommend everybody has the ability and the right to exercise your Second Amendment right. But don't do it just to be a prick, so to speak. I'm being honest with you. Don't do it. Don't walk around a store trying to spook everybody to get the cops called so you can get a video on there. Exercise your right if you want to do it. Me personally, I like concealed carry because the element of surprise and a defense standpoint is one of the most effective things you have. Ask anybody in martial arts or anybody in combat. Having the element of surprise is crucial. Once you break that element of surprise, everybody knows that you know that they know that you're carrying right now, and you're the first target if someone actually walks in to do harm or do a robbery or whatever. So again, don't try to do it to make a point out of it. If you're going to exercise it, you want to go do it, do it, but do it in a good, clean, healthy manner.
Don't be a jerk.
No, don't. It's my Second Amendment. I do whatever now, I want to do.
And he's right.
And he is.
But it's not right on private property.
No, that's it. And eventually Walmart's like, they asked him to leave. You can't, we're not. And the thing is, he could have gone in, he probably could have put in a Glock 19 or 17 in a holster outside the waistband and probably walked through it and been fine. Exercise it, enjoy it, but be cordial to everybody in the community and don't try to get law enforcement on pins and needles. They already got a hard enough job what they do. Appreciate you, my friends. Be Complex Product of the Week. Check it out. Have an awesome weekend. Stay safe, stay strong, and we'll talk to you on this show tomorrow, as always.
Hey, remember to go to church.
Yeah.
Remember, find a church that doesn't support Israel. I just said that. I can't believe I said that as a closing statement. This is awful.
Have a good weekend, y'all.
Hey, I love you guys. Continue to pray for direction and guidance for all of us. And thanks for praying for us. I love you.